Beamer. Okay,
there's my dog.
Yeah, there's a. Yeah. Okay.
He wants you to hold him.
Do you want to be part of this podcast too?
Yes, he wants to be part of the conversation. Here. Oh my gosh, I can hear my laundry.
That's fine. Well, I'm glad that you actually do your laundry at least.
I know. Oh, who does it? Oh, my Lanta.
I don't know. I think today, like, what we want to talk about is essentially, why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can take that in many ways. I think we can think about that in terms of when we're on our mm-hmm. respective vacations.
Yes.
How do we get to them? Like, mm-hmm. how we got to that decision to go there.
Yeah.
But then also when we're there, like, why are we actually there?
Yes.
And then the other thing that we were going to talk about is, you know, some histories for us. Like, first time we travel.
Oh, yes.
Because I think it's really fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. Because I was a late bloomer when it came to traveling. So,
ooh, yes.
So I'm excited to tell you about that. And then also where we still want to go.
Yes.
Like what. So let's talk about Mexico.
Okay. So to be honest, like Mexico has always been on my bucket list. I've always wanted to go. But one of the reasons I never went in my 20s, but all my girlfriends went, like my friends have gone like 10 times. I'm 41 now. So you got to understand, people started going to Mexico during spring break when I was still at UBC in the late 90s.
Spring break.
Yeah. And, but one of the reasons why I didn't go was because one of my classmates left spring break, came back sick, and didn't graduate with us.
Oh.
So, and I found out it was because she drank the water. So after that, I'm like, I'm never going to Mexico. Never, never, never. I don't want to like not graduate or get sick from drinking the water because, you know, like absentmindedly, I would probably drink the water or like, you know, eat the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, I just kind of like, never like, it never came back up. It was like on the back burner. It was something that all my girlfriends did, but I just never got into because I was traumatized by that classmate story. And
did she go to like an all-inclusive sort of thing?
Yes, exactly. Like, yeah, okay. All-inclusive. And it was just a thing to do back then. Like in the late 90s, spring break, UBC, everyone did it. I didn't jump on the bandwagon. And so I just kind of left it there. But then in the past 20 years, I would see so many of my friends going, like couples going down, just having fun, people bringing their kids, blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking, oh, I really want to go now.
Yeah.
And so my friend Jess was like, hey, I broke up with my boyfriend, but do you want to come with me? Because I normally go with my boyfriend. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And on top of that, she's gone there 4 times. So I felt more confident going with someone who's been there. It's not like the blind leading the blind. So, okay, Leah, let's go. I'd rather go at 41 than 61. So I don't like researching and I also don't like planning because I do that for work. So anything.
Good point. I was going to say, I hope you say you do it for work.
So like when it comes to like researching and planning, like because I do so much of it for, you know, home economics and organizing, grocery shopping and like lesson unit planning. When I'm on vacation mode, I just want to blindly follow someone, you know, like make all my decisions because we're constantly making decisions throughout the day. Like, you know, do I do this? Do I do that? Does a kid go to the bathroom? What happens if someone cuts themselves or burns themselves? Or like I'm all out of flour or something, you know?
Yeah.
But so she's like, oh, that's perfect because I love researching and I love planning. I hate other people doing that. I'm like, ooh, match made in heaven. Woo. So like she planned everything, booked everything, and I'm just going to follow her. We get down there. Oh my gosh. Like we get into the all-inclusive. It's this ginormous, colossal resort. And I'm thinking, wow, look at these high ceilings. This is over the top. We get there. We start eating. We start drinking. You know, they have shows at 9 p.m. every day. I'm a big cheese ball. Like I love shows. Like,
what kind of shows?
Like it's kind of like.
Are we talking like Thunder Down Under?
No. This is a family-oriented resort. There's like kids there.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it was. It was basically like Cirque du Soleil, you know, Atlantis. There's hip hop dancing. There's every
night. What's Atlantis?
Like, so someone dresses up as mermaids and walk around like dancing on the stage. There's like people dangling from ribbons from the ceiling. Or like there's a pirate show, like a Pirates of the Caribbean show.
Okay.
So every night it's different, right? A little bit like high school
like
drama.
Ship.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we go to that. And then the next day we decided to just hang out at the resort because, you know, it's all inclusive. We paid for it. We hung out. I'm 41. My friend Jess is 31. It was also President's Day weekend when we were down there.
Okay.
So it was really busy. There's a lot of Mexicans from Guadalajara, just like partying. They're just, yay, long weekend. Mm-hmm. And then there's like also the foreigners who are there from like North America, like, you know, just hanging out. And it was just super busy. I loved it. And these 22-year-old local Mexican boys, like, bless their heart. You know, I have the Asian gene, so does Jess. We look really young.
You look like you're 15.
Like, hi, where are you guys from? And like, you know, can we get you a drink? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, how old are you? And they're like, we're 22. And I'm like, yeah, so am I. So am I. And then...
So is my firstborn.
You know, exactly. And then, so they're like, hey, do you want to go to the beach with us? I'm like, yeah, let's go. And you know, like, I really don't drink. Like, I probably drink once a week or once a month. Like, mm-hmm. I really don't drink. Like, and when I do, I only have one or two glasses.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a drinker. And then so, but it's all inclusive, all you can eat, yeah. all you can drink. So I end up having maybe 4 or 5 drinks in the span of 6 hours, which is a lot because yeah. we're also in the sun.
You're like pacing
and
yourself.
Then we're yeah. like swimming and like, so, you know, this is happening. And next thing you know, we're on the beach and everything comes up. Like, oh, no. I just bump and I hide it with the sand. And it's just like, I don't feel good. I don't drink.
Is this with your like 22?
Yeah. So the four of us are on the beach on these beautiful lounging chairs with like this kind of like umbrella thing. There's people mm-hmm. there from the resort. Yes. It's not just us. And I'm like, oh my lanta. I'm like, I need to go back up. Like, sayonara's, guys. I'm out of here. So I went up and passed out for a couple hours. But you got to remember, you also have to drink water, not the tap water, bottled water, and also eat. Luckily, we were eating and drinking, but I don't think I wasn't consuming any H2O from yeah. you know, bottled water, which in hindsight would have made sense. You know what I did do was put on 105 SPF. So when I came back, my brother's like, did you even go to Mexico? You look lighter than you did when you
went. I didn't even know I came at 105 SPF.
I know. My friend just put on 50. She came back as a Filipino girl. She went as a fair-skinned Chinese girl. She came back very... But she looks great.
Oh, Jessica. Yeah.
Oh, yes. She's beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, so that was like, you know, our first couple of days. And then we decided to venture outside of the resort, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, it's really nice to be in the resort, but the food kind of gets, you know, redundant. Mm-hmm. The food was great. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, how much buffet can you eat?
Yeah,
you know, continuously, right?
Yeah.
So we end up getting off and we end up going to the boardwalk, which is sort of like a Robson Street. And it's like the main strip. So like one side is like the ocean. There's a boardwalk you're walking on. And then the other side is like shops and restaurants mm-hmm. and stuff. So we go up and down for about an hour or two. And we're like, we got to start eating. We're hungry now. So there's like beaches and there's like, you know, restaurants on the beach. And like, so the tables and the chairs are on the sand. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I'm not a very picky eater. I'll pretty much eat anything as long as I didn't make it.
Clearly, and, yeah. From what I gave you this morning.
No, it was good. Thank you. Thank you for going to JJ Bean and getting us pastries and coffee. I love you for that. Joe was very considerate and thoughtful and kind. Jake, you're a very lucky man. And then, yeah. And then, so, you know, there's places that kind of look like, you know, I would say like Red Robins or Cactus Club or Joe Forte's, you know?
Right.
And then there's this place that's like super dingy. They had like these neon yellow plastic patio chairs. Perfect. And it was spray painted in black with PV, Puerto Vallarta. And I'm like, it looks like homeless people chairs. I'm like, why? What are we doing here? And the tablecloths are dirty, but locals were eating there. There's no foreigners. She's like, this is a good place to eat. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Look, the tablecloth is dirty.
Isn't she like a nutritionist or
dietitian? She's a dietitian. She's a dietitian at Loblaws. And I'm like, why are we eating here? She's like, look, Martina, there's no foreigners. It's yeah. all local Mexicans. Mm-hmm. This is a good place to dine. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you know what? It might be a dive, but maybe it's like the authentic stuff.
It's
you
true.
Know, it's not like, you know, more North Americanized yeah. or anything. So we get there. The food is phenomenal. We had ceviche, you know, fish tostadas, fish tacos. And it was just like melting in our mouths. And plus it was cheaper. Mm-hmm. Half the price.
I think you're salivating.
I know. It was so good. I've never had such great Mexican food.
Wow.
Like in my life. Better than the resort food. So like the resort food would C+, B average. Mm-hmm. But eating in one of those places would be A+. You know what I mean? So I was just like blown away by that. But another thing that I noticed was a lot of North Americans, like Caucasian descent, mm-hmm. they're eating burgers. There's burger joints everywhere.
Why?
And I'm like, why would you be eating burgers here?
Gosh.
Like, why don't you eat burgers in the States and Canada, but eat tacos down here? Mm-hmm. So that's what I was thinking. But, you know, whatever.
It's like, why are you here?
I know.
What did you come here for?
I know.
Like, is there no sun where you're from while you're at McDonald's?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Johnny Rockets, or whatever it is.
Jack in the Box. Yeah, I know.
Oh, my goodness,
And Thursday, we decided to sign up for a tequila tour. Well, remember
that sounds like my...
Remember how I told you, like, you know, don't drink the water, don't eat the ice type of thing?
Uh-oh.
Well, I was like thinking, oh, you know, what would be a great idea would be a blended sangria. And because I was just so hot. So we're like, yeah, so let's try it. And Jess was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, well, do you think the ice would be okay? She's like, oh, it's on the resort. It's filtered. Like, everything's filtered at the resort because it's a 4-star resort. I'm like, okay. Oh, no. The next morning, I woke up to traveler's diarrhea.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no, I'm not going to graduate on time. Like, just like my classmate, I'm going to be sick for 4 months. But I was so stubborn because I paid $75 US for the tour. I'm like, I'm still going on this tour.
Oh, no.
And so we did 5 stops, and I also did 5 stops.
Oh, my God.
But it was great. We went to 2 churches. We had lunch that I didn't even touch on the river. Like the restaurant is on top of this river. So the river is, like, going under the restaurant. It's lovely. I spent most of my time in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then... yeah, and then we went to a tequila factory, like, where they make it. They had 12
flavors. Was it a walking tour?
Yeah, it was a walking tour, but I would say half of the time I was also in the bathroom. Oh, and, you know, when you travel, you know you got to try the new food, meet new people, culture, and try new toilets.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So how are the toilets in Mexico?
Okay, so toilets in Mexico, this is different. You can't put toilet paper down the toilet because the water system is not strong enough.
Mm.
And if you put, like, a little bit of toilet paper, it clogs up the toilet, from what I've learned. So there's a little garbage can beside the toilet, and that's where everyone puts their toilet paper after they wipe themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, in Asia, you have to do the potty squatty. And then, you know, in Europe, it's like, you know, you're sitting. And, you know, you just learn so much when you travel. Like, your world just bursts. Like, there's so much more than North Van.
Well,
there's,
like,
so
everyday
much more
things that you think are the norm anymore.
And I think there's, like, things like that in Europe too. Because, like, I heard in Europe, hot and cold water come from different faucets. Like, you can't, or something like that. Or like, some places, like, the warm water, like, runs out in Europe. I don't know. I've heard about stuff like that. I'm not sure.
Their washing machines
were different, I believe, than our washing, like, laundry machines. I don't know. We'll talk about that after. when we talk about Europe.
Apparently, I'm not as observant. I'm like, really?
Oh, really? Yeah. I notice everything. I'm like, oh, that's not how it is in my condo, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anywho, so the tequila tour was great. I wasn't feeling so great that day. Felt like I was dying. Came back, passed out, ate at the buffet, and then we flew back Friday.
Nice.
I would say up until I got sick, I'd give Mexico 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
After I got sick, I wanted to give it 2 out of 10. Mm-hmm. So,
and now that you're back?
Now that I'm back, I'd say like 5 out of 10, but I would definitely go again. But I think I might Airbnb it instead of the resort. Like, 3 nights in Puerto Vallarta, 3 nights in Sayulita, 3 nights in Guadalajara. Because I never got to go to Guadalajara.
Yeah.
And that's something that I want to do.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of like a sample thing, right? Like,
I'm
thinking of the trip that I just went on. It's very much like, it's guided. You're sort of in, like, it's not an all-inclusive resort by any means. It was like an educational tour.
Mm-hmm.
But the tour guides, like, take you to all these different places, and you really don't have that much time to stop or really live in the city or anything like that. But it gives you a good sample of, like, the different countries and the different cities. And then, so Jake and I are like, oh, these are the cities we want to go back to.
Yeah.
So Jake and I had what I think was a really good idea, and it's what we call the Marie Kondo way of packing.
Ooh, I love it. Spark joy.
I just spark joy. So, so much joy. So we actually went through our closets and, you know, we already did a big cleanse a little while ago, and we, you know, repurposed some stuff, donated some stuff, altered some stuff so it fit again. And this time we went through our closets and took out some of the things that we were like, you know what, like, we could probably live without this, because it's just like, we just have a lot of clothes and, you know, you go to stores and you buy more and stuff like that. But, you know, we're really trying to really cut down. And really find good pieces to wear. And so we bought, so we brought all these different pieces that we had the intention of leaving in the different hotels in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we would be in a different hotel, like the second or third night, mm-hmm. and you know, we would like fold them really nicely, aww. Like Marie Kondo does, and then we would like place them by the windowsill, aww. Or we would like just have like a, and we'd like set this little photo shoot, aww. with all our little pieces, and we'd be like, thank you so much for giving us the pleasure of wearing you, aww. and then we would leave. And I mean, are there any, like in hindsight, we're like, what happened to those?
I wonder, like, yeah. Like, I wonder if they donated it, they kept it for themselves.
Or did they throw them out? I'm hoping they didn't, but yeah. we'll see. I don't know. Like, or maybe it's gone to a good home.
Yes.
Because at the very, like, last hotel in Paris, we left 3 pairs of shoes.
Wow.
So. But we came back, like, it's not like we had the intention of leaving stuff and then, like, buying it back.
Yes.
Like, I think some people do that. Mm. They just, like, you know, bring old stuff and then they, whatever. But we were just like, you know what? I think we're done with this. Like, we're going to come back lighter than we went.
Oh, feel fresh.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. And so we got really into buying scarves and, like, accessories, nice. And little things like that. Because our basic pieces were, I think we're pretty happy with. But anyway, so that's our tip.
Nice.
To kind of, like, we just had a backpack full of stuff that we were like, you know what? We could leave this here because, you know, we're done with it and it probably should go to another home. So Europe was great.
Yes.
It was a Canadian battlefields tour, like I was saying. And essentially, we just started in Amsterdam. We did the big city. Mm-hmm. And then we started going around to some of the Holocaust museums. And we went to Anne Frank House, which was incredible. And the last time that Jake was there was 10 years ago. And he said that, like, the walking tour and all that kind of stuff really wasn't in there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But just, like, being with all these people at the very beginning, and it was really spread out. We were, like, looking at, you know, the factory and like, everything. And then we start to get into, like, the places where the family was living,
yeah,
and
it just got
smaller.
Hiding.
Yeah. Got smaller and smaller. And then we were all packed. And at the very end, like, we just can't move. Like, we're just, like, still.
Yes.
And, like, looking at her, like, the different parts of her diary. And it was very moving. I think that was probably the best way to start off the tour. And then from there, we went to, Holocaust museums. We went to a Jewish theater where they had actually, like, corralled everyone and separated families and, like... And so it was just, it was, I guess it was very different than your trip. But at the same time, like, it was really awesome to have, like, 30 young people with us that were really excited about learning about just humanity, I think. Like, it wasn't even, it was a Canadian battlefield because that was part of it too, but it was just a good, almost like real life learning into, like, you know, how do we get to where we are?
Yeah.
And, like, why are we here visiting these places to learn more, to really be immersed in what this feels like? Because a lot of them, like, a lot of the kids were like, you know, it just feels different. Like, when you're reading it on textbooks, right, it's so different when you're like, oh, these bad, you know, genocide this and, like, all that. But then once you start to, like, you're there and you feel... And you, like,
that energy.
Know that, the energy, like, someone died here, or millions of people, or not millions, but, like, thousands of people were slaughtered here, essentially. That was really moving for them, for all the kids to kind of, like, walk
tie that in and make it real.
Yeah.
But it's, like, when you read it, you think it's, like, foreign. You see it on TV, on the news. It's like, oh, yeah, but that's, like, way over there. That's not here. And to be in that space and just to be moved that way and just, like, feel that energy that people had suffered and died for our freedom.
Yeah.
And, like, at the hands of, like, evil, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
And realize, like, this is our history. Yeah. And this is how we got to where,
like,
we are now.
As humans, like,
we did that. Yeah. And, like, and we can't go back there.
No.
We can't do that again.
Yeah.
Like, and we have to learn from our history. Yeah.
And, yeah, like, from there, we went to a lot of different Commonwealth memorials and Canadian memorials.
I'm getting goosebumps.
I know, it's like we need to go.
Raw.
Like, I would love to do it.
Raw.
I would love to go there again, and just really be there without kids and in silence,
and just thank those who went before us.
Yeah, and it's like just walking through all the tombstones and at some point also like the tombstones are placed where different people had fallen, so you can see clumps of people in their air brigades or in their.
And all those young men.
Yes. Well, and the thing is, like we were looking at all these tombstones that had just a soldier from this war. Like, it, like, you don't even know who they are.
What about their parents? Right? Yeah. And their, like, siblings, yeah, and their families. You don't even know who
they are. And, like, a lot of them, mm-hmm. even though they were there and had their names and they said that mm-hmm. they were 18, mm-hmm. we were told that a lot of them weren't 18. A lot of them were, like, maybe even young, as young as, like, 12 or 13.
No!
But they signed up, like, to fight and wow. you know, it was...
Because they glamorized war at that time.
Oh, yes.
To get recruits, you know? Like,
oh, hugely.
Be a hero, you know? Go fight in the war.
Yeah. Like a lot of the propaganda that we saw was telling, because it's like, well, why wouldn't you? Like, mm-hmm. if you were really loving your country and wanted the best for everyone, like, it just, you know, like,
imagine
you felt
all those
pressure
Canadians.
Socially to be part of it. So
all those Canadians. Yeah.
So it's incredible. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, it was mm-hmm. incredible just seeing a lot of that. And we had some students of Sikh heritage that were able to find some newer plots that they created that had all the people from the Sikh community that were part of it too.
From Canada.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
That was incredible. They were like, it's just to see it, like, validated that, like, oh, I was here too.
And, yeah. Like my ancestors were here.
Because I think for a lot of the, like,
they don't know.
No.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like, they're like, oh, well, you know, like, I, like, people see them as, like, oh, foreigners or, mm-hmm. or people who, you know, even of Chinese descent. That,
yeah,
that
like,
fought.
Chinese Canadians fought. First Nations, you know, fought. And
and that's,
you know,
starting
like,
to become more of, it's more apparent now. And I think they've mm-hmm. shifted some of their, like, the way they've laid out some of the displays mm-hmm. to include, like, people from all backgrounds mm-hmm. to make sure that we know that it's not just white people that were fighting.
Yeah, like, you know, African Canadians were fighting. Yeah,
because
like,
that's all we saw. Like,
yeah,
like, when
in
I think
the
about
textbook,
Remembrance Day
textbooks,
and,
it was all just white people.
Yeah, it's just
and
like,
that's
oh,
not
yeah.
true.
No,
yeah,
and you know, like no wonder we think about white savior mentality and all
that. Yeah,
that like, oh, like this person knows more than me, or that they're going to protect me if they're white. It's not that way, right? And so it was really cool to see a lot of these memorials that were real.
Yeah.
I think like felt more real because I was like, oh, like these are
people
right?
Yeah.
And
who died for us.
And the demographic of Canada hasn't really shifted that mm-hmm. much when you think about it. Like people are still represented in very mm-hmm. diverse populations.
Like multiculturalism. Yeah.
So
a little bit about the memorial and like those veterans of people dying and all. I just wanted to like put in something. Like my dad was the Korean Veterans Association president mm-hmm. at one time in Vancouver. And I found this out later. I don't know why my parents didn't tell me before. But on Remembrance Day, back, I would say like maybe 10, 15 years ago, they would go to the Canadian veterans who fought in the Korean War. Mm. And they're like 100 years old, you know, because the war was in the 40s or something. So my parents would go to their senior home and give them Korean blankets while they're sitting in their wheelchairs and thank them for fighting for Korea and like the freedom that we have in South Korea today. Otherwise we'd be like, you know, North Korea completely communist. They would have never been able to leave the country. Complete poverty in North Korea right now and stuff. And so I found that so moving, like these Korean veterans who are still alive in their senior home, my parents are thanking them and giving them Korean blankets. And it just like, I just wanted to start crying when I heard that. And mm-hmm. I go, why didn't you tell me? I would have totally gone with you. And mm-hmm. she's like, oh, it's okay, Martina. And I wish there had been more of that connect. But when I heard that, I'm like, wow, that's so nice of you to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, Remembrance Day, I don't think it really hit me until I went to a Remembrance Day memorial down at the Cenotaph in North Van. Mm-hmm. And it was like maybe a couple years ago, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, just imagining all those young men going to fight for freedom and they all end up dying and not returning back to their moms mm-hmm. and dads. And it just like, wow, like mm-hmm. they were just so brave. And it just really moved me, you know. And I just want to thank any surviving veterans right now from any war. Like, thank you so much for, you know, fighting for our freedom and mm-hmm. what we have, what we can enjoy today. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people don't maybe appreciate that or know the depths of it, but yeah, I hope all your students get it. And I think that was so educational for you to take them.
Yeah,
all of us mm-hmm. get it. And like, wow, what an amazing European tour to mm-hmm. go on. I would love to do that in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, I think there are a lot of tours like that, mm-hmm. That go all over France and to other countries as mm-hmm. well. So yeah, it definitely is like a must do, I think, for any Canadian. Because, you know, like, I think a lot of the times we do take our freedoms and the way that we live our lives for granted, mm-hmm. like, it, like, you know, from me being able to be who I am, but then also for someone who doesn't like who I am, mm-hmm. being able to say that they don't like that, like, that's also a freedom as well. And so really just recognizing the fact that, like, all of us are able to be open, regardless of which side or perspective we come from. And that's a real gift.
Yes, that's so true. Yay, Canada.
Yay, Canada. We're so great. Yay. We're all so great. We can say whatever we want, but then now we feel entitled to say whatever we want.
But, like, you know, when you travel, I think it just enriches your soul. Mm-hmm. You know, like, meeting new people and culture and, like, just fashion and food and, like, the colors and architecture and buildings and, like, but as we live in this bubble and we see everything on TV or in textbooks or whatever, there goes my dog chasing his tail. You can hear him running around on my wooden floors. I love wooden floors, by the way.
He's but, like, tap dancing.
I know, he's so adorable. I have tap shoes. I used to do tap as a kid. But anyways, you know what's really hard with tap is, not only if you make a mistake, is it visually a mistake, but it's audially a mistake.
Yeah.
So that's really tough. So tap is very, very hard.
My mother-in-law just started tap dancing again.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, like she
tap dances to, what is that song?
I don't know.
It's one of my least favorite songs.
Like the Singing in the Rain?
No, it's a...
It's like...
Another One Bites the Dust?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I like the old school music, you know, like, you know, Singing in the Rain and, like, Anyways, so as I was saying...
What are we,
like,
even talking about?
I don't know.
About?
Like, traveling, it's just, it's so good for your soul. I think it makes you a better person, a better teacher, a better learner. And, like, it just shows you that there's so much more than us in our hometown.
Well, it makes us think about, like, how we live our lives. I think in compare, like, when you're in a different place and kind of going, oh, like, I need to, you know, I need to adapt, or I need to change some of the things that I'm doing so that I can, you know, still live in this space.
Yeah, and you don't want to offend anyone either, like, by accident.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be impolite or, like, culturally wrong. So, like, you know, I would suggest, like, if you are going to a different culture, like maybe Japan or Europe, definitely see the do's and don'ts. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Because the last thing you want to do is, like, you know, wind up in prison and, like, think, like, I didn't know that there was a fine for this. Like, you know, like...
Definitely look up what things you can go to jail for. I think, like, that's,
like,
a big one.
I heard, like, some places in Asia, like, you cannot take selfies on a beach near the airport. Because it's number one, it's dangerous, and number two, it's like a security issue for the airports.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, that doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, like, and also, unfortunately, like, some places, like, I wouldn't be able to hold Jake's hand, like, in public, right?
And that,
so, like,
breaks my heart.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's, but it's good to know. I think, like, anything to do with that, like, you just need to do
your research
and all that and know what's, you know, what's a good place and also what's going to be exciting for you, what's going to be a good learning experience, and, you know, what might end up in jail.
Yeah.
So
don't take selfies on beaches or on mountains, or, and, like, please do not get off trails on national parks. Like, you got to be safe, you know?
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, definitely about that.
Well, I have so many places on, like, on my
where do you
want to
go?
Tell me. I think it's mostly to see my parents' hometown. Like, I really want to go back to, back. I've never been.
Where are you from? Where are your parents from?
Yeah, from last episode. Like, Hong Kong. Like, I've never been there. And and I've also... Why are you laughing? What's so funny about Hong Kong?
So, I've been to Hong Kong a couple times. And,
oh,
like,
is it not worth it?
No, I love it. Okay, so I love Hong Kong.
Is it, like, Richmond?
And I love, like, Chinese food. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm obsessed with barbecue pork buns. So, I was there for 7 days.
Chow Siu Bao.
Yeah, and I ate one every morning because, like, there's bakeries everywhere. And they're beautiful bakeries.
Baked or steamed?
Like, both. I don't even care. Like, I like everything.
Yeah.
Probably steamed. So, I would eat a barbecue pork bun every day. And then, I think the third day, I was, like, on the tram in Hong Kong. I'm, like, sniffing my hair. And I'm, like, oh, my God, my hair smells like barbecue pork bun. Like, I was oozing barbecue pork bun out of my pores. But, like, that's what I think of. Like, I'm, like, going on the beaches and on the tram and, you know, seeing Jackie Chan wax museums and eating all this great dim sum. And I'm, like...
Are you sure it wasn't because you, like, somehow had ordered, like, 50 pork buns and rolled around in them, like, on the bed?
And all that bubble tea. I'm like, sugary high. Like, I literally had, like, bubble tea, like, every meal.
Yeah.
Like, every meal. Like, boba tea, bubble tea, and, like, barbecue pork buns every morning dim sum. Great food, great people, great shopping.
Yes,
but,
I heard.
Yeah. If you go during the winter, it's freezing cold. The water's, like, freezing. You have to wait for it to run to hot.
Really?
Summer, it's, like, super hot.
Yeah.
And
springtime.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. We were talking about Malaysia.
Yeah, and like being traveling, in a different country.
Different countries, like meeting new people, eating different foods, you know, learning about different architecture and like, you know, ways of eating. Like some people use different utensils, chopsticks, forks, knives, whatnot, hands.
Yeah, throwback to last week or the other week about...
Or like even cooking techniques, you know, like how you go to the market. Like the market here might be different from the markets over there, you know, and like not only the currency and stuff.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to be aware of your new surroundings and to adapt to it and just really grow from that. Like take what you see and do and hear and bring it back and, you know, translate that into your own life, enrich your soul and give it back to your students. You know?
And able, like being able to reflect on kind of the way that we live our own lives and being able to then, show appreciation for yourself and kind of what you bring to your life, but also realize that, you know, what you have and the way that you live your life is very temporary probably and also very like you've made that your normal. So you have the potential, if you don't like what you're doing or the way that you're living your life, to create a new normal for yourself 100%. Because it exists somewhere else. And I think that's the greatest thing that people love about traveling is they're like, oh, I learned about this type of way of looking at
like fashion,
spirituality or the way all that kind
or
of stuff,
food
right?
or like cooking techniques or like, you know, just it's just so amazing. Like I would recommend everyone to travel, you know, but you're right, it is a huge privilege, you know, to be able to save up and go. But you know, whether it's like, you know, just an hour away to Hope or to, you know, other ends of the world, to Australia, New Zealand, you know, realize that there's so much more than us, you know, there's so much more than just North Van or Vancouver, and to learn to appreciate that.
Well, and seeing how those different places have actually made us as Canadians, as Asian Canadians, like how we are and why we are the way we are, right? And because like even, you know, if we didn't know anything about Canadian history and going to France and being like, wow, there's a connection here, or going to Hong Kong and knowing there's a connection there, that's really revealing because at the very end of the day, it shows our connection versus showing our differences, which 100%. There are some, but also being able to appreciate the fact that like we are sometimes more similar than we are different.
100%. And like,
That's but what like an appreciation. Hey?
Totally.
Even if it's for fun, laying in the sand, right? Like being able to have ceviche, being able to then expel all the ceviche.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, you know, I think I overate definitely because it was, you know, all you can eat and all you can drink. And I'm just like, definitely pace yourself. One thing my brother told me was, you know, don't drink too much on the first day because you'll be sick for the rest of the week. And just pace yourself, you know, sunscreen, drink liquids and just really enjoy yourself and relax, you know?
Well,
and
be able to take it in, because if you're always thinking about what you want to do and trying to control it, probably the way we control our lives when we're at
here,
home, then you're really not going to be able to be able to be open.
Go with the flow. Go with the flow.
Go with the flow always, just like this podcast.
Exactly.
Who knows what we're going to talk
about. I know. Awesome. On that note, let's say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll see you next week or whenever we get together.
Okay.
Beamer saying bye-bye.
Yeah, with his squeaky toy.